The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Frank Cotolo. He just talks and 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 talks.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Cotolo.
Okay, here we go.
Especially when Providence has provided a window over the bed with bars and ogres to claw at them and sweat as thick as carbuncles, rapid as a river and sprouting as if it always was spring in tropics, with thick tenderloin steaks for hands and feet heavier than lead or light as snow, feet and hands separated by oceans of time or incalculable latitudes of light, the little knob of the brain hidden away like a grain of sand, and the toenails rotting blissfully under the ruins of Athens.
Where the Mars hoax?
In this room, I heard nothing but inanities. With each fresh, lovely disease, my parents became more addlepated. Just think, my mother would say, when you were a little baby, I took you to the sink and I said, "Baby, you don't want to drink from the bottle anymore, do you?" And you said, "No," and I smashed the bottle in the sink. Into this room, softly treading, "Treading softly," said General Smedjikov, remember, came Miss Sanovsky, spinster of dubious age with a green-black dress.
Beware,
and with her
the
came the smell of old cheese. Her sex had turned rancid.
Beware, the
but Miss Sanovsky also brought with her the sack of Jerusalem and the nails that so pierced the hands of Jesus that the holes have never disappeared. After the Crusades, the Black Death. After Columbus, syphilis. After Miss Sanovsky, schizophrenia. Schizophrenia. Nobody thinks anymore how marvelous it is that the whole world is diseased. No point of reference, no frame of health. God might just as well be typhoid fever. No absolutes, only light years of deferred progress. When I think of those centuries in which all Europe grappled with the Black Death, I realize how radiant life can be if only we are fitting in the right place. The dance and fever in the midst of that corruption.
You still wake up
Europe
sometimes,
may never
you?
Again dance so
wake
ecstatic.
Up in the dark. Hear the screaming of the lamb.
Yes.
Do you think if you save poor Catherine, you could make them stop, don't you? You think if Catherine lives, you won't wake up in the dark ever again. That awful screaming of the lamb.
I don't know.
Thank you, Clary.
Pow! Pow!
Work it.
shake that thing.
Cthulhu, Cthulhu.
Bring the car around.
Come to the car!
Open the door. What is it, a zipper? The door is a zipper? Philosophical entertainment, relevant irreverence. On the last days of summer, Netarati couple surfers and netaholics and infomaniacs remain curious yellow. It's time, you sunburnt sicklemen of August, weary August, dust, leave us. Wake up, it's night, night. The Bard of Broadcasting? As who else would open a show like that? Know anyone else? Okay, bring them around. Let them do a show. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man, his name is the title of the show. We're here. Y2K plus 14. The last Thursday in August. Ice cap to ice cap from Hamlet. Borodello, neo-postmodernists, make holiday. Here we go again. These fresh nymphs encounter everyone. Helmets and face masks are not required, but we're here, and it's getting cooler, and it's getting... Well, I said getting. It's not getting. I'm not getting cool. It's getting darker earlier. How is it every year? I used to know these people do this all the time. Matt, once in a while, I do it too. Once in a while? Once a year. Can't do it once in a while. When it gets darker earlier, or it stays lighter later. At least this is the way it was done in New York, the world of repetitive thoughts and a loop. Everybody, when I grew up in Brooklyn, it was like a loop went on in people's heads. It was a limited amount of information, phrases, and ideas and concepts. It kept going around and around and around through the year. So when it came the time that the sun was going down earlier, people would constantly say, hey, you notice how dark it's getting, how early? How dark it's getting, how early it's getting dark? Do you notice that? It's getting dark, so like it never happened. See, it's happened. It happens. For a year. And that loop, and I keep hearing that, and the seasons go by, one after another. And time just moves on. No, time doesn't move on. Time is just, it doesn't move on. It's just here. You move on. Time, it stands still. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man, his name adorns the title of the show. And titles, speaking of titles, what a show. I'm finally going to open up the books, like I say in the mob. I'm going to open up the books to go into the contents and the titles of the book of titles of books that never will be written. At least not by me. Maybe someone else will write them. And as time goes on, you never know. Someone else may pick up the slack. I can hear slack picker-uppers walking behind me even now as we speak. In this grand theater. I know what is happening. I'm just suddenly surrounded by I'm looking for words. looking for words. Isn't this something? Have a seat, and welcome to the theater. Also joining us, who's joining us? Well, we are, because we're coming apart. Tom Savino and the guy behind me, who is going to do a special segment on this evening. Is that okay for you guys? Are you okay there? Is that okay? I don't know what else to tell you. There's the floor, but we don't want to do that. And Mr. Yes, Tom, we're gonna call Tom shortly. Tom Savino, of course, my former partner, now my partner here, and a man whose new show will be debuting soon. It's about wine, and no, it's not about wine. It's called something. It's called, I keep forgetting the name, but it's a great name. He'll tell you about it. He's going to tell you all about his new show, which will be following my show in, I don't know when. He'll even tell you that. But all this going on at SRN and all the great stations following us through the week here on the worldwide broadcast. Did you get a haircut? Or did you get them all cut? I got them all cut. He got a haircut. He got them all cut.
Yeah.
Mr. Jeremy Long is with me, of course, and we're going to call Mr. Tom Savino. Mr. Jeremy Long has his phone. He's tweeting right now to tell everyone that he's here. And remind you all.
They weren't listening, but now they can.
Now they're listening. Now they're all listening. And they're here. And how are you?
Good. How have you been?
I have not been that well. I was sick a few days. Thank you for calling and looking in on me.
I called.
Oh, you didn't.
And then you didn't answer.
Thank you for looking in on me and saying hi. Are you, Frank?
I knocked on the door and you didn't answer.
Okay.
You were getting your lobotomy.
I couldn't answer. I was sick. I was bedridden.
Yeah.
I was knocking at, just gnawing at the window for people to bring me water and nourishment, but you weren't there for me. Jeremy Long, of course, you're kind of a I don't know what to call you anymore.
What do you call me?
I don't know what to call you.
Just call me an entertainer. Kind
of he's an entertainer. Right? Well, they all know that. But I mean, in terms of the show, because I'm
your co-host.
I don't have. Yeah, I know you're a kind of honorary co-host because I don't really have a co-host. I don't want to really.
Let's not put labels on things.
That's what I mean. Tom Savino is here with us, and I hope you guys will have a great show. I'm going to be entertaining and. as you do it. No, we're going to talk about, as I said, we're going to talk about the book. Let's get Tom and get started here, because we got a long, long show here. I don't think there's anything else I have to tell you. You know where to go. I tell you where to go every week. You know where to go. Go to the, CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com and, everywhere else. Oh, look at this. He doesn't want a video call?
No.
No, he wants, here we go again now. This call. Hey, guys.
What'd you do?
I did. I called him. Here he is. This is him.
Yeah, but it's
not a video call. Tom?
Yes, that's me.
How come when I hit the video call, I did not get you?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. That's
Hey, Tom.
It's a technical thing.
I don't care.
Drive me nuts with technical things. My phones are dying. My computer just got out of the shop.
And you're here, so all was well, right?
But here I am. Here's my voice.
Okay,
of me. Why not take all of me?
Now you got him started.
Bursting into song.
I don't know. I want some of that. I want some of that hooch that you're downing back there. Tom Savino's with us, and he doesn't exactly. I don't know if you know exactly what we're doing here, Tom. I mean, I gave you an idea of what was going on, but for years. Here, I've been, whenever I say something and it sounds like it could be a title of a book, wherever I go, wherever I am, on the show or not on the show, I write down that phrase.
I know from over the last 4 or 5 months, occasionally when I've been doing your show or just talking to you, you've written down some phrases for that purpose.
Yeah, they don't have to come from me. They can come from anyone. But whenever I hear them, I do, and I've been collecting because I love titles. You know that.
Yes.
And I figure that every title must have a book. And being a writer, that's what I want to mention too. That I am currently, in case anybody doesn't know this already, and why should they? Because they have better things to do than live their life. I have begun putting the contents together for 3M, my next book. 3M, it stands for More Molotov Memoirs.
You call it M.
3M.
You could call it M cubed.
Cubed is not 3.
Cubed is 3. Squared is 2. Yeah. Cubed is 3.
Well, no, squared is by itself. Squared is not 2.
No, like.
Oh, you mean so if you put a 3?
Times 2 is square.
If I put M and a 3 on top, it means M cubed?
Yeah. It's that's what you can call it.
So 3M, we're going to call it 3M, and more Molotov memoirs. So I'm working on it, and so all this comes into play because I'm having an absolute fun time putting this together. T. Stephen Gesick will once again design and draw all the pictures.
I approve.
Okay, it will be available in hard copy and in digital. But I don't know if we're going with Blurb. We may go somewhere else.
Yeah.
The Blurb people, we've made a lot of money for Blurb, and they've not shared a lot of it. But it's okay, because all you really want is readers. I never intended on making a living off of Molotov memoirs, but it did get some great reviews. And so we're going to do more. And these are all new. Even if you think you saw some of these stories, you didn't, because replenished, and there's been added material, and there's all sorts of stuff. So you're going to get the director's cut of this. Hmm. And we'll give you more information on that. Also, we were promoting what's going to happen soon with the... I don't know why I can't remember the title of the name of your show, Tom. Say it again. Savino Wine.
You're putting me on, I think.
No, Savino. Vino being wine.
Savino Veritas.
It's Veritas.
What?
Veritas.
I thought it was Verino.
No, not Savino. Verino. What do you think it is?
We can go that way.
What does he have? Hand puppets? He's like hand puppets? I didn't think he's doing a kid show. Savino Verino.
Yeah.
Savino Veritas.
Veritas.
Fashioned after in vino veritas, which means in wine the truth.
Ah.
See?
So you knew it had something to do with wine.
Yes.
And this show will be following my show someday in the near future on SRN and available. I want to mention to all the stations who carry me, you can also carry Tom's show when it starts and be happy, put it up and make it work for you. You can run it anytime. You don't have to run it after mine. If you run mine, run it somewhere else or give it to a friend or a friend who has a station or start a station. Start the Savino Verino station and then just do Veritas. No.
Yes, Savino Veritas.
Veritas. Why did I say Veritas?
V-E-R-I-T-A-S.
That's Latin.
Yes.
Okay.
As is my name.
Your name's not your Latin.
And
your
yours.
Italian.
Too.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. You know, I did an entire show a couple of years back about how people say how we're all related to Attila the Hun is who we're really related. The genes, that's where it goes back to Attila. But we're not going to do that show now. So the point I'm trying to make is, okay, so there's 3M Molotov memoirs. And today we're going to go through. Now, what I'm going to ask of everybody involved and anybody who wants to get involved can is we're going to talk. I'm going to name the title of the book, and we're going to kind of talk about what this book might be about, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing that. What do you say, Jeremy, about that?
Sounds good.
And Jeremy is going on the road soon.
I've been waiting.
Not soon enough, as far no. he'll be going on the road soon, and so he's going to be trying out some material on all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Flannel.
Enjoyed your stay here in Los Angeles, Jeremy.
Yes, Tom, thoroughly, and it was great to see you.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Tom and
we
I
really
went
got
to...
a good night. Right on.
Yeah, we went to Flappers.
Yeah.
And we went to what's the place we ate at?
Gordon Biersch. Gordon Biersch Brewery Restaurant.
And yeah. I mean, a good night. Yeah.
Home of the flying cask. I don't know.
What?
Yeah, it sounded like it was like we ate it. What was the name? What was it called?
Gordon
Biersch.
And what is it? I just home of the flying
brewery restaurant.
Home of the flying flask. What is a flagon? Isn't that what the old what the knights used to drink wine and momsy out of? Right? Out of flask?
I don't want
what do you call a flask?
Friends.
Or chalice? Home of the flying chalice. Chalice.
Oh, okay, sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, wouldn't it be great to have a restaurant where everything, you give out a special cup, and the person doesn't keep the cup. What they have to do is have to throw it in against like a wall or something or in a fireplace.
Yeah.
That would be like, that would be cool.
And yell huzzah.
Wouldn't that be great? That would be
but
like...
But you know, it's funny you mentioned that because the Gordon Biersch restaurant, brewery, restaurant. They have a club. If you're a regular, you could get your own glass with your name on it. Except you can't throw it at anybody or anything.
You could probably throw it. You would get kicked out.
But maybe we could call it Home of the Flying, you know, whatever what it is, the Flying Nut Glass. You know, have a cool name for it. Another, you have to look.
Tom lived there for a while, so he'll be able to he'll be able to persuade them.
Yes, in my lonelier days.
You see, all this is part of the fact that I have so many good ideas. I know I'm never, and even for books or whatever, and I'm never going to live long enough, or even if there is such a thing as reincarnation, I'm never going to come back and be able to do anything. Well, just too much. It's too much. I give up already. But we do have these. We're going to go into these. Into these titles and have some fun with that. And Jeremy, when do you want to do that? Jeremy, tell us what you're going to do.
Well, I've been working on new material and want to try that out. So what, you want to do it when we come back from the break?
Okay, I just said, Jeremy, when do you want to do this? Now you're asking me, when do I want to do it?
Well, it's your show.
Oh, yeah, right, when it's my show. My name is Frank Atolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. You can go get the books I already have. You know, I just want to say this, and that is that my decision to do more Molotov memoirs was based on the fact that T. Stephan Gesick said, hey, let's do the other one, and we talked about doing another one. But I dropped the ball because so many people out there decided, instead of buying like a digital copy, they decided to go out and buy a pack of cigarettes, which cost three times more, or they went out and got some smack, or they went out and got some what are the kids drinking? Hard lemonade, soft lemonade? What is that crap they're drinking now? Is it hard lemonade? Or they're getting apps? All right, people are going to spend more money on apps, but they won't get one book that they know they're going to laugh the living daylights out of their minds.
How do they know?
Huh?
How do they know that?
Well, because it's been verified, it's been notified, it's been documented.
It's proven.
Proven too. On top of it all. But, hey, Tom, do you have any? I know, and I must say this too, because I know this is true. Tom, in the past, might have actually been the inspiration for this whole book of titles, because way, way, way back in our partnership, Tom had titles of books that he never wrote. And I don't know if he'll ever write. And I remembered some of those titles. I'm not stealing them, Tom. Do you remember some?
Stealing the... You know, I don't.
Don't?
Did I do that?
Yes. You had titles of books. You said, yes, you did. First, and I think one of them I absolutely love. I think you should still write it as a textbook. And the title is... Woe Is I.
Oh. Yeah. Well, actually, that is a book.
Oh, I thought that was a book you wanted to write.
I actually have that book. It's a grammar book.
He already has it.
He has it. Someone wrote it. Roll
is on.
Okay, how about this one? Because I remember this one. Endangered Feces.
Oh, then that I'm working on.
Oh, he's actually doing it.
Endangered Feces, it's been in the making.
So
to speak.
Ever since
it's been
dinner.
In the making for decades.
Yes, I remember that.
Maybe 70 examples these are misinterpreted statements by students were writing essays and they said what they thought they wanted to say and said funny things. Like I'll give one away, but nobody can steal this. Like one student wrote about the 16 chapel, meaning the Sistine Chapel, but
the 16. You know. That kind of stuff.
That's.
I have no.
And a student once wrote in thinking what he meant was endangered species, but he wrote endangered feces.
Oh, okay. So somebody
and I actually stole it from him. He's not going to get a penny of this.
We don't. No. Well, we don't call it stealing. Well, we do, because remember the old saying.
Steal from the best.
No. Well, that is an old saying, right? But it's not the one I was thinking about. Amateurs imitate professionals steal. That's it.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And of course, being a neo-postmodern, we know that everything comes from everything else. And so it is that we do that. I don't have any other commercials or anything we have to say get through.
Buy the documentary.
Now, the documentary? You want to tell him about documentary again? Go ahead.
I've told him a thousand times.
Yeah, I, to you? Okay, so there'll be no documentary commercial about that.
Buy the documentary.
Buy the documentary. Go to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and get get it. There is a place called Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Yes. Jeremy, I just want you to know that it took me weeks, but I got my computer fixed. It would not eject CDs and DVDs, but now
yeah,
I'm ready.
Yeah, I remember you told me. Yeah.
I am ready to listen and watch the documentary.
Tom Savino, of course, appears in the documentary. He's played by Al Jardine of the Beach Boys. it's like not even, you know, it's, I don't know, but it's not that much of an in-joke anymore because people have seen you, so they know. The thing that Jeremy said to me, that, because, you know, he had never met you face-to-face in the flesh.
Yes.
And he said to me, and I just laughed. I don't know what to say. But he said, I didn't know he was that short.
Well, you know, I didn't know you were that tall, Jeremy. That's the same, the flip side of the coin.
Tom's height has been
Frank didn't set that up properly.
What happened? Tell me what happened. Tell exactly what happened, because I changed the story.
First you asked me if I had a good time with Tom, and then if there was anything peculiar about him or what I thought about him, and I said the only thing that
I didn't say peculiar. I didn't ask you if there's anything peculiar. I didn't use the word peculiar.
I don't know if you used the word peculiar, but you asked if something specific, and I said basically it was just like when we were talking to him on here, but I just didn't know he was so short because I had only seen his head when we talked on Skype.
Hey, wait a second. I think we have another title. I've only seen his head when we talked on Skype.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like that. I've only seen his head.
Write these down now. We're going to wind up with a bunch. We're gonna wind up shows within shows within shows, right? We got.
Yeah.
We're going to wind
up. You
have
an audience there tonight?
We have a few people.
Oh, you can hear them.
Yeah, we can hear them. You want to say hi?
Hi.
Hey,
hi.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
People and we don't know.
That's what this show does.
Yes, indeed.
The giggling.
Oh, man.
Well,
we're all on drugs.
Actually, these are our interpreters. The second half of the show will be done entirely in Romanian.
Oh.
So that'll be a lot of fun.
Anyway,
what I played at the beginning in the collage was what I played in the beginning in the collage was someone reading his own stuff. I played Henry Miller.
Henry Miller.
I played Henry Miller reading from his book Blacks. One of my favorite. Yeah.
Okay.
One of my favorite books of his stories called Black Spring, and he was reading it, and of course. These days, what do we got these days? We got, are there still audiobooks out there? Or do they put them on CDs?
There's a few. Yeah, they're on CDs.
They do them on CDs now?
Yeah.
Yeah, and streaming and
usually, yeah, they stream a lot, but if you buy them on a CD, they're like six CDs.
What do you mean
CDs?
They stream a lot? You mean you just put them on your phone?
Yeah,
and
you can
download
them like you do and then you hook download them, songs.
But then what do? Hook them into your, because they were originally designed as something you could listen to in the car.
Yeah, well, you put them on an iPod.
Yeah.
And then you listen.
Yeah, but you put them on your phone now. Nobody has iPods anymore.
Right? I have an iPod.
Do you use it?
Yeah, every single day when I'm in the car.
Nobody has iPods?
Everybody has iPods.
Well, I thought everybody uses iPhones and
you can put music on your iPhone, but usually there's not enough, like mine, there's not enough room for music because I have so much other junk on there.
Okay.
Photos, videos, apps, so then I just have an iPod with music.
I just want everything quiet there for a second, see what happens
in
the dead silence of it all. My name is Frank Catola. I'm the man whose name we're doing the title of the show. Tom Savino is with us from his undisclosed location in California. Tom, did you have any repercussions? I don't mean to get so timely. Were there any repercussions in that 6.6 earthquake? What happened out there?
Wow. Excuse me. None here.
You felt nothing.
And that's a big quake, 6.1. And young lady who's about to rent my apartment.
Your apartment? So you're moving?
No.
You said she's renting your apartment. She's renting your apartment.
My apartment, that you're renting. The guest house.
Yes.
The guest house apartment. Where I did live for a while in my lonelier days. Let's not go there. But anyway, she was there during the quake. Uh-huh. And she said she slept through it. That's deep sleep. A 6.1 earthquake? I don't know.
I remember of the few that I was in L.A., the one I remember the most, I don't know the time or I don't know anything about it except you'll remember it. In other words, I can't quote. I can't say, oh, that was the quake of 84 or something. But I was in bed, and I was tossed out of bed from the rolling because it is a rolling sensation. A lot of people don't know what an earthquake feels. What?
Come on.
What? What's the matter?
I just thought. No, keep going.
You guys are on illegal substances, aren't you?
Wow. No. Had I fallen out of the bed that way, I'd just fall out of the bed that way.
Normally,
it rolled. No, it's a rolling feeling, and it sounds like a subway train. Well, I guess people in Kansas don't know what that sounds like anyway.
Right.
But I mean, this rumbling underneath you, and then there's actually movement, and the earth it rolls. It's like
It's a rolling quake, yes. Some of them are jolting quakes.
Oh, this wasn't a jolting quake. This was a rolling quake.
It was a rolling quake, yeah.
And I remember, I was thrown out of bed. I don't know, I couldn't have slept through is what I'm saying. That's what reminded me of laying in bed.
When I was there and one happened, I was on the toilet and I just didn't feel it. It didn't feel any different to me.
You experienced an earthquake?
When?
No.
No, see, he's doing... Okay, now, is that one of the jokes?
No.
That's not one of the jokes.
Let's move on.
In this 10 minutes that he's prepared, he's been really working hard on these jokes. And
yeah.
Now, here's going to be the problem with this is going to be simply, although we do have some people, so they could either laugh or not laugh, but I don't want to get a laugh track.
I don't want to talk over here because I don't
know. What is that? We don't want to talk over there?
Yeah. Can we talk over here?
You could talk over there.
Okay.
You want to talk over here, too?
No,
you don't want to talk. You're saying you don't want to talk over here. You want to talk over there. Okay, talk over there. And you need some light? Are you okay talking in the dark like that?
Yeah, we're
good. Because it gets warmer. So you want the fan? Okay. So we're... I see. Okay. Sure. I just said yes. I just said yes for you.
There was a little repercussion for the earthquake, if you wanted to know.
You did feel something at all? You felt
Did my future tenant, who was about to move in on a few weeks, her possible boyfriend is in the wine business in Napa Valley, because actually the quake was in Napa Valley. And a friend of his lost $1.5 million worth of wine.
What I was going to mention, the real problem here is what that's going to do to the wines. You know, there are some, you know who's going to benefit from this? These the junk wines. And I got to tell you that in Pennsylvania, they make wine. They have a wine industry. And it's junk. It's just junk. I don't know. I think the people who drink Pennsylvania wine are these people who feel like they feel obligated to support, you know, their state and local stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a bunch of crap when it comes to having something that's really good. And California wines, they're great. And you can't compare them. So why would you drink junk just because you live here? Think about that. Hey, wait a second.
The titles
are coming out left and right. Why would you drink? Okay. We're going to start doing this. Otherwise, we'll never do it.
Right,
but anyway, I'm glad.
I have no idea what we're doing, but let's do it.
Well, here's what we're doing. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to mention the title of a book, and then whenever I have a title, and one of the reasons I like titles is because I think a title really tells you. To me, a title tells me everything. So I have ideas. If I actually wrote this book, the book of titles. of books I'll never write. If I actually wrote this book, I would put like a paragraph and say, this is what I think it might be about. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about the themes or the metaphors or the allegories or the allophores and the metagories, whatever. We would, you know, just an idea of what it was like and what the main theme was to be and what it was supposed to say as a piece of literature. Okay? That's what I would do. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to say, like, well, what would a book like that be about? If you opened up the book that was called this, you know, and I give you the title, I'll tell you what I think it might be about and what themes we could go into. And, Tom, you know, I think you're perfect for this because, for God's sakes, you taught this crap, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Name a couple of books that you used in your curriculum of English students in the grades before high school.
Okay. Before high school?
Well, no, what did you do? What,
you mean when I was teaching?
Yeah, you taught what?
In high school.
Yo, that was high school teaching. You were high school? Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
11th and 12th grade.
So what were like two books in your curriculum?
Catcher in the Rye.
Oh, classic.
Catcher in the Rye.
Catcher in the Rye.
Okay.
Grapes of Wrath.
Now, let's look at those two here just for a second.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Both of those titles have meanings that are not necessarily exactly what the book is about. In other words, let's look at Catcher in the Rye, you know, the joke. You know, it's not about Yogi Berra's drinking problem, right? It's not.
No, but it could be. Could have been.
Yeah, but it's not. Catcher in the Rye means something, and whatever that means really sets off the book. Otherwise, yes. It wouldn't be called that. It would just be called the Honard. What's the kid's name again? Hillard? Honard? Harry?
Holden.
Holden. I knew it was an H.
Holden Caulfield.
Yeah. So it wasn't called like Holden's. It could have been called, what, Holden's Angst.
Troubles.
Or Troubles.
Yeah. Holden's Angst. Yeah, that would have been.
But he didn't do it. He probably sat down and he went, I'm not going to call this Holden's Angst. Why did he call it Catcher in the Rye? Tell everyone. Because this will give us an idea of when we're getting into.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead. Tom,
oh, it's me.
It's my cue.
Because Holden, being a disturbed junior in high school, he connected with an old song that had a phrase, if a body loves a body, coming through the rye. And there's a phrase, Catcher in the Rye. He wanted to be the catcher in the rye. He wanted to catch children coming through the rye, and which was he misinterpreted the song. His younger sister had to correct the meaning of the song, but he had already got that in his paradigm belief system, and he wanted to be the catcher in the rye. So that makes sense to anyone, because
when a body meets a body coming through the rye,
right.
And that's a Scottish, or,
yes,
Scottish song. Right?
It is Scottish,
Scottish folk song. So, catcher in the rye would be the one who catches the body
because coming through the rye.
So you see what I'm saying is. So what I'm saying is the title. Pertains to a theme.
Yes, exactly.
And the song itself would have, that phrase from the song itself would have really encapsulate a lot of the theme.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, if you say, okay, so the song has meaning and it gives meaning to the themes of the book. The other one you mentioned, of course, it's almost the same. What did you mention?
Grapes of Wrath.
Grapes of Wrath. As mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Did you know that's where that came from?
Yeah.
You do? Yes. He has looked upon his anger where the grapes of wrath are stored. The grapes of wrath. He took it right out of there. Now, he was really, Steinbeck was really into using those biblical references throughout, even symbolically. Yeah. And that's why, so the same guy who wrote Grapes of Wrath wrote Of Mice and Men, which is also from a phrase
sure.
From the Bible. Now, all you neo-postmodernists out there, the people who listen to my show, are always talking about neo-postmodernism, about the fact that nothing is genuinely original, but we all get it from other places, and then we get all this information that we absorb, and then it comes through us, and we translate it another way. So that's all. I'm just saying it's not like this is going to be academic. This is going to be a funny show. It's not going to be that academic, believe me. I just want to give everyone an idea, because people were saying to me, what are you doing? It's like, what? So I need an English teacher, an English teacher mm-hmm. to tell me. What was the other one I was going to mention? I missed the other one, which I know. For a very, very long time, the book, Ernest Hemingway's first true big novel, the one he's known to more than anyone else, any other book he wrote, he sat around for like, he held up publication because he did not have a title. See, that's the great thing about my books. They won't have any copy, but they have a title already.
Yeah.
And, but, so he didn't know what to call it. And he had a number of different titles. He was going to call it The Lost Generation at one time, and this, that, and the other thing. But he eventually went to the Bible, and where there's a lot of great titles in there, still unused, you know.
Yeah.
And he wrote... What was the name of that book? Do you know the book I'm talking about? Did they read that in school? I don't think they do. They don't use
Hemingway?
That. Yeah. What Hemingways did they use? They're probably just Old Man in the Sea?
Hemingway in my high school?
We did
Of Mice. We did Old Man in the
Let's
Sea.
Let's all talk together. Ready? Okay.
We did Of Mice and Men. In my high school, we did Of Mice and Men, The Great Gatsby.
Did you do any Hemingway?
I don't think any Hemingway.
Great Gatsby was taught Hemingway.
Now the other...
F. Scott.
No, Tom. You know F. what I'm Scott, talking F. about, right? Do you know the Hemingway book?
Say it again.
You know the Hemingway book. I'm.
Actually, I drew a blank. The one he took the title from the Bible.
Yeah. And was originally, and he was thinking of calling it The Lost Generation, but he didn't.
It was his first novel.
His first super, yeah, the first full novel.
Hmm.
Dun, 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 dun. I should have gotten the music out again. Dun,
that's something Tom asked.
Okay,
me.
Let's not waste time. What? Oh, when yeah.
How does Frank get all that music so instantaneously?
It's like Jack Nicholson.
YouTube.
Where is it?
I disclosed the secret.
I'm like,
you did. It's like
sorry,
Jack Nicholson. Tom. Jack Nicholson. You ready? One of my rare.
Give me another hint.
Okay, I will in a second. Here's one of my rare imitations. Where does he get those marvelous toys? One generation.
Potato salad.
One generation dies and another generation comes about.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a sloppy.
The sun also rises.
Yes, of course. The sun also rises.
Oh, of course.
Which.
Noodle salad.
Noodle salad. Where does he get those marvelous toys? Why didn't someone tell me I had one of those things? Anyway, enough of my Frank Gorshin type entertainment.
Is he still alive?
No, he died. He died.
Oh, I'm sorry, Frank.
He died. Is that a diamond in your nose? No, it's not.
There you go.
Thomas, I have to tell you that. He told me that joke. He was dead drunk and still and smoking like a chimney. And he said to me, Frank Gorshin, he said, is that a diamond in your nose? It was an elevator. And I went, no, it's not. And he went, exactly. No, it's not. He loved that
exactly.
joke. That was his favorite joke. So, and every time I...
That's good. I like it.
It's a great joke, isn't it? Okay. And there'll be other great jokes as we...
I got new shoes today.
Okay, now, Jeremy, no, it was a show and tell time now. Jeremy got new shoes. Let's look at some of these titles as we go up okay. to the top of the hour, and we'll just keep talking. In the top of the hour, we're going to give Jeremy a little chance to. I have tons.
Kind of test these, yeah.
Everyone knows that I have my Mead notebooks.
Yeah.
I write down everything I possibly can, and over the years, this is just one of the books that has. Many of the titles in it. So I'm going to go through this book of titles, ideas. I got calculations. I got I got a little. I got jokes. A lot of my jokes are in here too. KFC, I use it.
I'll borrow that.
Yeah, well, I told you you can have any of these. And of course, I want to remind everyone you could go to at Daily Meds. That's MEDZ, Daily Meds, at Daily Meds, and you get a free, wonderful saying every day. You don't get sayings like this anywhere else on the internet. Everywhere else, you get these tired, worn, you know, watered down, positive Joel Osteen crap sayings. Okay, I give it, and then Daily Meds gives it to you straight, and you'll think about it all day long, you will, by golly. So.
By golly.
So here, let's look at, hey, you know what? As I go through, you know, I love going through this because I wind up laughing. This is how I know a joke might be good, because, or something might be good, because I see it again after years and waiting, right? Like, how about a book? You know, there's a, you know, Lawrence of Arabia, is a historic, it's a book. It's a historic story, right, mm-hmm. of that guy, mm-hmm. you know. Right. And I said to myself, "How come there was? How come they never had spinoffs? Like there was Lawrence of Arabia. Like who? What about Clarence of Scandinavia? Well, that would be a great. Wouldn't that be a whole other thing?
Yeah,
it would definitely be another thing.
Okay, so there's that Clarence of Scandinavia.
It would.
Okay, I got nothing. Let's go to the book. Let's go to the book of titles.
That would definitely be.
Hey, I also have this, like, here's in case, you know, I'll never make movies either, but here's the people that I would like to play, certain people. Think about this really closely, okay?
Okay.
If there was a Soupy Sales, I don't know if a lot of you people know Soupy Sales out there. You can always look it up, write it down, write this down!
Everybody knows
and then go, Soupy Sales. If you look really closely, okay, it might be too old now, but we could fix it up. Soupy Sales to be played by Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Very good, Frank.
Right? Yeah. You saw that one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Definitely. And let's go over to the couch and see what's going on. Oh, Pookie.
That's a great.
Isn't it?
There's definitely a resemblance.
Right?
There's a connection there, yeah.
A very obvious one, of course, would be the Buddy Ebsen story. Dave Letterman.
that's
perfect.
Hey, you're insightful there. I like
Thank
that.
You. See, so this will give you an idea as we build up to the book titles here. Now, here's my favorite, and it's getting too late for this now. And I don't know if you know this actor, but you're gonna have to look him up. Go to Google Images or
he
something
was just
like
in
that.
The movie I saw today.
What did you see? Nixon.
He was in.
He was in Sin City.
Yeah.
You know what I saw?
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. The biopic of Bob Hope. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Powers Booth.
I'd have to look that up.
Oh, he has to look it up, too.
Today,
I want you to look up Powers Booth.
Powers Booth.
Powers Booth. You'll know him if you see him. And you'll, matter of fact, you might go, is that Bob Hope?
Wow.
Yeah, okay.
And, of course,
Last night I was watching a movie with Robin Williams, and I thought this one actress was Elaine May, but it wasn't.
Who was it?
Mitzi something or other.
Oh.
I've never heard of her.
Elaine May.
If they made a biopic of...
Powers Booth, here.
Powers Booth, look at him.
They made
Bob Hope, man.
Who? Oh, if they made a biopic...
What, are you looking at him now? Are you looking at pictures of Bob? You don't see
him?
You don't see
Bob Hope in this guy?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm gonna have to guess.
You'll
no
have to take
that.
A look at that.
Let's
look at some of these.
Peter Sellers.
Let's go. Oh yeah, that's you.
That's me,
Jeremy. If you'd have to lose a little weight, but because you're tall enough, but you definitely got the Peter Sellers thing going. Can you speak it English? Can you speak English? Can you do a British accent at all? You'd have to listen to Peter Sellers.
I'd have to work
you'd
on
have
it.
To do. Yeah. I think it's fascinating.
That's the CD that got stuck in my computer was learning dialects.
Oh.
You were trying to learn dialects?
Yeah.
Dialects for murder. Dialects for porno. How about that? Here's another one. Dial M for murder. Dial X for porno.
Huh.
Okay, let's look at... You want to hear some of these titles now? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go around the table. See if I'll give you an idea what this is about. And then you could tell... Oh, why don't you do that first? Why don't you guys do it first?
Tell
me
what
you think the book would be about.
Okay.
Based on... Now, remember, this is based on classic interpretation, literary criticism now. Don't just say, oh, that's a, oh, don't try to make a joke. Oh, that's all about soap and people make soap and there's a lot of lies in that book. Don't do that kind of crap, all right?
Why?
Yeah. Give me a real good joke. Okay. Because actually there is in a lot in the first title I have here. Okay, here it is. There was no more lie in lava than there was in ivory. By Frank Cotolo.
Could you repeat it?
There was no more lie in lava than there was in ivory. By Frank Cotolo. There's my title. Lie, that being L-Y-E. There was no more lie in lava than there was in ivory. What do you think that book would be about?
Go ahead, Tom.
No more lie in...
There was no more lie in lava than there was in ivory.
I'd have to say it's about the soap business.
Oh, you would think it was a novel about the soap business.
I would think it was a novel about a heroic man choosing between climbing a volcano or going through the jungle.
I'm going to give you a little plot. It's a story about the deceptive marketing practices in the soap business.
You know, it's funny how everybody's agenda comes out.
Personal agenda.
Yeah, the personal themes come out. And there's this, because it's really a story about, it's about being a kid. Were you ever, it's about, you know, soap becomes an instrument of authority, of not a tool, a weapon of authority. I'm going to put soap in your mouth, you know, right?
Wash your mouth out with soap.
Yeah, wash your mouth out with soap. And, of course, you know that you had to be very careful because it stings when you're washing. The first time you ever tried to clean yourself, and it's like it hurt to clean yourself.
Yes.
You know? And if you were a kid of the 50s, you remember the – I don't even know if they sell it anymore. The product is Lava Soap. Yeah. L-A-V-A. Do they still sell that, do you think?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't know. Brand? Let me Google it.
And they had lava soap. They said this was the strongest soap in the world. And they showed construction men and guys, you know, washing their hands with these grimy with this lava. And then think of the marketing of this lava. Yeah. It's strong, right? It just eats away the dirt the way lava from a volcano eats away.
And, yeah. And so you can get a case today for $46.60.
Look at that!
Wow.
So the idea now, ivory soap was the regular. White, nondescript template soap bar. Okay.
Yeah, 99.9% pure.
Was ivory the soap that the, I forgot her name now. The porno actress did the.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that,
I can't think of the word.
I'm a compendium of trivial. Information. So the idea of this book was that my father, of course, being a construction man per se, you know, rough and tough and tough, and me being a child, being bathed in the sink, because they used to do that when you were a kid. I remember, literally remember. It's a very early memory. I could have said a joke now. I could have said, I remember being bathed by my mother in the sink till I was 14. I was 14. Of course, I remembered. That's the joke, but it's not. I remember being a baby and then, you know, my father coming home from work. And, of course, he would use the lava because that was the product for him. And I would have the ivory. So it's really a story of youth. It's a story of home, being at home and being cared for and growing up in that atmosphere. That's the book.
Yeah.
There was no more lie in lava. So no matter how tough they said lava was such tough. Well, this would be in the book. It would explain a lot of this stuff. This is, in other words, I didn't take this phrase from the Bible. It's like.
No.
And Luke said.
an aside. Who was that porn actress in the soap thing?
I'm trying to think. She also did more, more, more. How do you like it? How do you like it? It was her, right? More, more. No, it was Marilyn Chambers.
Marilyn Chambers, yeah.
Behind the Green Door.
Mm.
Behind the Green Door with Johnny Wadd.
Now, she should have, since she was a porn person and she had a soap connection, she should have said, you know, don't drop the soap.
She died 2 years ago.
I'm so dirty.
She was on the bone garden list 2 years ago, I think. She died.
Yeah,
she died.
I'm sorry.
Of heart failure. It wasn't even anything. But let's move on here, okay? There are also some. Here's one, Tom, you might want. This title you might want to use. Because I'll tell you this right off the bat. This is a book about language. This is not a novel. It's not fiction, okay? It's called Danger Flags.
Danger flags.
About these, you know you're getting into trouble speaking correctly when you do certain things. For instance, you're not supposed, everybody ends a sentences just talking. And now I even see it in journalism. They'll end it with is or are or was. Correct?
Yeah.
You know those? Mm-hmm. That's incorrect. Yeah. I mean, that's like wrong.
Sure.
Okay. But people do it. They even do it on the news now.
Oof.
Okay? You know, it's one thing when you're trying to imitate or how people talk in a theater or something like that. But there's a danger flag. And I figured, how could you do that? How could you get out of that habit? And the idea is never use a question. Once you use a question in the sentence, you get stuck with the are or the is or the was. Think about saying something that you could say much simpler if you didn't put a question. How about this? So this would be the danger flag. Here's the danger flag, the question, coming up to say this correctly. So that everyone, people would, this is a textbook, Danger Flags by Francatolo. So you have to say that, by Francatolo. Okay, so if I go, you'll never realize how beautiful she was. Hello? I put the question, how? But when I could simply say, you can't imagine her beauty. But the minute I put how, or what a beautiful person she was, what a beautiful woman she was, as soon as I put what in there, what, why, how, that's a danger flag. You know you're stuck unless you add something to the end of the sentence.
So what a beautiful woman she was.
That's incorrect. That's incorrect.
And it's a danger flag because you started off as
with
a question.
What? Yeah,
because
you said what? You'll never know what.
But if you add something to the end, like, what a beautiful woman she was when she was shoveling snow.
Yeah. That's different. Right? Because it completes the sentence.
Okay.
Right, Tom?
Yes.
So you being the expert in English, yes, I'm.
Yes, it was.
I'm averring to you, okay?
You can always, well.
Right?
You can make it a tag question. How beautiful she was, wasn't she?
That doesn't work either. Sure.
It doesn't work either, no. Because you're actually just asking a question on top of the incorrect sentence.
Yes.
By the way, here we are. My name is Frank Tolan, man of the name of Don Siegel Show. We've done two titles already, but we got a whole hour left.
Sure.
Don't worry about it, okay? Girls aren't even back with the cigarettes and
I
the
was
drugs.
Worried.
Yeah, it's a joke.
It went into the audience.
It's an in-joke.
They were getting loud.
So, see what I'm saying? So the danger flag. Now, can you think, Tom, now you're a teacher, you're an English teacher. In terms of speaking incorrectly, can you give us a danger tag so that people can speak correctly when they're saying a sentence that, give us another era in speaking that you would say, like, oh, I have to say it this way, or I shouldn't, like I just did. Put them right on the spot. All right, think about that. We'll move on.
Yes.
But in the book of titles here,
Agatola
Chronicles on the book of titles. Don't forget.
In the middle of what you're saying, I'll just come up with it.
Okay, because very soon you want to wait until right to do that until you got some more people. Because Jeremy's going to do his. So stand by, everyone. My name is Frank Tolman. This is Agatola Chronicles Y2K plus 14. Hey, this is the last Thursday in August.
Woo! Where'd the month go?
Like the last exit in Brooklyn. Now, so I have a couple I'll just run off here that, just have, you could use, anyone could use. This is like taking, I don't know if this is not personification, but what is this? It's kind of a euphemism. A lot of euphemisms in titles, too, aren't there, Tom?
Yes.
So if I say if I call a book Bitter Highway, it's not about a bunch of guys who try to eat the highway and go, well, I don't taste, I wish it was sweet. Sweetheart. Or a book that the only serious book that I wrote that I never released, but I should release one of these days. Sweet Shepherd. It's not about a guy who has tends sheep and he's made of sugar.
You mean shepherd? Yes, I mean sheep made of sugar. Yeah.
Say sweet, sweet November. Obviously, November
is
not.
Is he a sweet man?
Using sweet. That's a euphemism.
Is that what your book's about? He's like a sweet man.
It's not a him at all. Sweet shepherd is a.
Is it a transvestite?
No, it's a. God darn you! You just can't stop being humorous, can you? You have to keep. No. No, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying that's a euphemism.
Now, wait a minute.
What?
A euphemism is a phrase that's used to
emphasize.
Kind of lighten a topic you don't want to talk about. Like a euphemism is, like I say, he passed away instead of saying he died.
But isn't it also, if you're, and Jeremy, you should know this, Jeremy gets off the stage, everybody's laughing, he goes, I killed that audience. Well, you didn't kill the audience.
No, that's not an idiot.
Oh, it's not?
It's a metaphor.
Is that a metaphor? No.
I killed him tonight.
That's not a metaphor, is it? When you overemphasize, no, I'm going to look this up again.
It's figurative.
You're figurative. I'm going to look this up here because Ray and I were walking through Home Depot, and we can't think of the term euphemism. And then we found it, and we looked it up, and it said exactly what I'm saying. It said, no, if you say, I'm going to murder you, you don't really mean you're going to murder him, but that's a euphemism, the same murder. Even when you're going to murder someone, right? Now, you're saying...
That's not my... A euphemism is a mild or indirect word or expression substituted for one considered to be too harsh or blunt.
So mine's the opposite.
To something unpleasant or embarrassing.
Yours is the opposite. Yours is saying something harsh.
Say something. Well, it doesn't have to be harsh.
Well.
Like, for instance, instead of saying, we're firing half of the company, say we're downsizing.
Or we're letting them go.
Letting him go. Yeah, we're letting him go. I mean, that sounds like,
did that change? Has this changed over the years? Is euphemism, a mild or inoffensive word or expression substituted for one deemed coarse, inelegant, or improper. Two, Frank is also correct. So there, you see, it says here.
In the dictionary.
Okay, so then I don't. You know, it's funny how we can't get Tom to laugh. Well, we got him. So you got real serious.
I'm laughing.
Tom laughed a lot.
Okay, Tom, but what is eucalyptus? Smarty pants. Okay, anyway. So what is that? That's not a metaphor, is it? If you say sweet November, November month isn't sweet. Bitter highway doesn't mean you taste, you're going to eat it. That's not a metaphor, though, is it?
If you just say bitter highway.
Yeah. Bitter, it's meaning bad, as opposed to saying bad and something can happen there. It's bad. It's not good. It has a bad taste, which means, of course, isn't that a euphemism? It has a bad taste, which means... No?
If you said bitter highway, but you meant like a bad path, a bad direction in your life,
that would
be a metaphor.
That's a metaphor. What's a metaphor, anyway? Okay.
What's your metaphor?
Okay. Well, then I guess we were right in the first place. I was wrong. So euphemism is if you... Okay. I don't know. Huh. Okay. All right. Well, I can't be right all the time. That's why there's another reason why I'm not going to write all these books. I probably make a lot of mistakes. Okay. How about this one?
All right.
Charmed by a noun.
We're taking a break.
Charmed by a noun.
Yeah. Listen to this. Charmed by a noun.
Wow.
What's a noun?
Noun is the name of a person, place, or thing.
Okay. So it means charmed by...
A person, place, or thing.
The name of a person, place, or thing.
Which is pretty much everything. Because everything is either a person, a place, or a thing. So what else can that something be?
So you're basically just charmed.
Charmed by a noun.
Charmed by
everything.
Everything. And everyone.
Charms me.
Well, that's a good... a good observation. I like that.
What would the book be about? You're just walking around, you'll be charmed by a noun.
Well, apparently this is why you don't have the idea to write these books, because you have no idea what it could be about. What's walking around? You're just walking around? Yeah, here's how it goes. It opens up. It was a sunny day. I walked down the block and I went, I love sunny days. Ah! Chapter 2. my doctor called and said, your blood is perfect. Everything's okay and your cholesterol is good. And I said, geez, I love blood tests. That's a really good thing. Ah.
Go on.
He liked it. Oh, so you like that? I'm charmed by a noun as opposed to...
I like that. Thing? Charmed by a noun, yeah. Because and it could be... You're right. Anything. Yeah.
Everything. What else can something be? If it's not a noun. If it's a person. We got people. Humans. And person, even a noun. And the thing, even all the things that aren't places and persons fall into... unity. And someone goes, yeah, what about an animal? Well, an animal's a thing, isn't it?
Of course, yeah.
Oh, yeah, what about an amoeba?
Wait, what about proper nouns?
What about a proper nouns?
Proper noun is the name of a particular person, place, or thing.
Well, a place has name. Places have names. Egypt.
But you might not be charmed about proper nouns.
No, that can it's proper nouns. It's proper noun is a category underneath noun. It's not above noun. It's not different than noun.
Sure.
Can I see your diploma? Did you graduate?
So you're not charmed by verbs?
I might have been. No. Actions? No. Charmed by a noun. All the people, the places, and the things in my life. And that's what it would be about. How, no matter how much trouble I had, there was always this wonderful thing about them. And really, they were all just one big thing. Because they're nouns. Because a noun is three things. And that's the divine number. Three.
Yeah.
Beginning, middle, end. And we got to go Mo, Larry, Curly. You know.
Three. I have this... I got this fear, though, that Dr. W... Is it Waldorf?
Dr. Waldorf would say something different.
Like in my whole life, I have this belief in paradigm. It is as concrete a noun as a person, place, or thing.
And then here comes
I'm afraid to bring this up to Dr. Waldorf because he'll say, yes, but, you know,
I screwed up euphemism. Here I was thinking that, you know, what a euphemistic thing.
I'd say, what
a euphemistic thing to say. I killed him. I'm going to murder you. I drowned myself in wine. You didn't drown yourself. You didn't die.
Actually,
right?
If you say, I killed him, I murdered him, I slaughtered him, I crushed him, it's almost an anti-euphemism.
Yeah. Is there such a thing as anti-euphemism?
I think we just created it.
I had an anti-euphemism, remember? We've lost.
I did. It was a bad episode. But the doctors gave me some paradigm, and I've been all right.
Really? I was taking paradigm, but they changed it. The paradigm changed. It was a paradigm change, and they said, here, take this instead. Okay.
I hurt my back that way. You said, hey, you had a paradigm shift, and you'll have to do a little of a physical therapy.
So there's charmed by a noun. That one's done. Okay, we did that one. Let's move on here as we move into... now we're waiting for the rest of the audience, Jeremy Broder's audience. But so we'd have some people to also... they're either going to laugh, they're going to approve or disapprove of these jokes. They're right in front of me. I'm not reading them. He's got three pages. But she says, would you say 10 minutes? This is 10 minutes? This is a whole set?
Yeah.
Do you want me to... You don't want me to put any music on or anything, yeah?
No.
You know, just da 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 da. You can go over and play it on the piano.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
Now that you mentioned it, I want that.
Let's do a couple of more book things here until the audience comes back. Okay. I don't know. Do they know their way around here?
I don't know.
Who knows? We don't know anything. Sorry. Let's move on here. Here's a good title right here. I was bored. So I Made Pancakes by Frank Atolo. I was bored, so I made pancakes.
That's my favorite one so far.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really? Why? Now tell us why.
Because that's something I do when I get bored.
Okay.
So and, I feel like I can relate to it.
And what does it mean to you in terms of being a human being, drama, you know, conflict, life, drama?
It means to me that all life's problems can be solved with pancakes.
Hmm. Have you taken any therapy, Jeremy?
No.
Well, it's about time. Why did you ask him that, Tom?
I think that if you make pancakes because you're bored, it's just a reaction to an emotional trauma that you're trying to deal with some way.
Very good. That's what it would be. Yes, that's exactly.
I'm not sure if I had. Okay.
The action of making the pancakes which is a very simple thing to make. It's a very, and it's a pancake. Is what's a pancake? I mean, it's not even a complicated piece of food. Food, of course, being the very thing that you need to survive, only to survive. You don't need it to fill the holes that you might have in other places, but people do that, right? Eating, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
See, and so that's that book. A lot of people would buy that one because they'd go. They'd say, yeah. And it would come with a free natural maple syrup bottle. He laughed, see? Mm. It's an, you're an easy
you know what I don't like?
Pancake?
I don't. did you? Nobody asked me, but I'm just going to say
us.
It. I don't like.
What don't you like, Tom?
Shaped pancakes.
What?
Shaped?
You know, like you get these little. You buy these molds so that you can pancakes could look like a Christmas tree or something. Yeah.
I used to make for the kids when the kids were smaller, and actually before one of the kids was born, I used to make what I called Larry Fine pancakes.
Oh, okay.
Larry Fine being the second of the Three Stooges.
It's actually
Larry Curly.
It's actually Lawrence Feinberg.
Lawrence Feinberg, but I called them Larry Fine because he was Larry Fine. Larry Fine pancakes, and it was purposely, and the kids loved it because you just, you know, you'd make everybody get round pancakes, but they would make these indiscriminate shapes. They loved it, you know, and because they would go like, and it looks like, and you know, Jack would go, that looks like. Well, actually, Jack wouldn't say anything, but. He was a weird kid. He didn't say a lot.
I like that.
You like that?
It's kind of like, you know, looking at clouds and saying, oh, I see Lincoln's face there. So.
Yeah. I got it. It's called Larry Fine because there is one specific Three Stooge episode where he makes pancakes and he can't, and they're all stupid shapes. So I took it from that. May be in the book. That might have been in the book where suddenly he realizes he could make designs out of pancakes. He doesn't have to make the same round thing. That, of course, brings in the whole theme of be a little different, be creative, you see?
Oh, that would be a good book.
See, that would be a good book.
Yeah.
That would be. Yeah.
See, that's what I mean. These would be wonderful books if I could live long enough.
They would be.
If I could live long enough to write them. Here on Cthulhu Chronicles. Now, I want to just say this. Anybody who wants to take these ideas and spend a greater part of their life writing any one of these books is certainly welcome. Please do. Take the title, take the idea, run with it. It's okay with me. I'm never going to get to them. So this is another gift from me to you. So next time you're thinking, I'm going to buy a book, maybe you'll buy mine, the one I do have. The two I have. One on Amazon, one at blurb.com. And coming up soon, 3M.
And there's a couple on Lulu.
More Molotov Memories. And we got books on Lulu, too. Lulu books.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. How about this? I won't make Groucho's out of girls.
Ooh.
I won't make Groucho's out of girls.
Does that mean that you won't...
Well, now there's two. What exactly does it mean, and then what is the theme?
Well,
you make
Groucho's out of everything.
That's the point, see? Here's a guy like me. Everywhere I go, I usually bring a broad, thick, black pen. And I go to a waiting room where there's magazines or newspapers and a coffee shop or whatever it is like that. I will take, there's pictures of people, presidents, dignitaries, people, murderers, whatever. You know, right? There's pictures.
Yeah. Ah.
And what I do is I take the black marker and I put a big, thick mustache on them, big, thick eyebrows. And I draw a thing that resembles a cigar coming out of their mouths and little round spectacle glasses. And then I put the magazine or the paper back where I found it. And people pick it up. And everyone has become a Groucho. See?
Now, how long is
it?
But
you won't do it.
But
I
would not make Groucho. And that says something about the character, doesn't it?
How long ago did you write that title? Because I think I could have swore I was with you when you said that.
You might have been.
Let me write this
down. Yeah, you might have been. Because someone might have said, do Groucho's with everything? And I went, yeah, I do with everyone, but I won't make Groucho's out of girls.
Pretty sure it was during the documentary.
Could have been that, yeah. And so that brings up an entire different side of
That's great.
See?
Okay. That's a big good line in a poem, too.
Do you want to give us an idea?
Set of girls. And it could be like a whole list. I'm going to jack this from you, Frank.
Good.
You can
take
still
it.
Use the title.
No, I don't know. It's for you. Know. You're going to make a poem out. If I've inspired you, I won't make grouchos out of girls.
I won't make grouchos out of girls.
Now that's
no
a song.
More diamonds.
You say
no
lyric.
More
you can
make it
a
song.
You can no make more
a
diamonds.
A musical.
I won't make diamonds out of pearls. I won't make grouchos out of girls.
There you go.
I won't make diamonds out of pearls. Not in this or any other world. Not me. Not me.
Not I.
Not I. Not I. Not I.
I won't.
I won't make harpos out of trucks. I won't make Kikos out of ducks. But someday I'll be out of luck. That's me. You see, people, what we're doing
so
here
easy.
I know, we're inspiring. We're telling you all the wonderful things that you could do. Just the thoughts that pass through your head every single day of your life. Book titles, books, songs, and entire musical comedies. And you can't, if your mind works like this, it's great, but if you're like me, and I doubt if you are like me, you're not going to be able to live long enough. And here's the thing that I don't believe. Not that I believe much, but you know how people say, Tom, you know this? They say, oh, man, everybody's got at least one book in them.
I've heard that phrase.
That's baloney.
Yeah.
That's absolutely crap.
Definitely.
At least one book? And everyone's got at least one book. And then think of people I knew. Even people like, even people who were close to me, my father and my mother, they did not have a book in them. Someone would have to write a book about it. I couldn't imagine my mother suddenly saying, there won't be dinners this month. There are no more dinners. I'm not cooking this month. Really? What are we going to eat? Find a place to eat. I'm writing my book.
I got one in me.
Definitely my mom did not have a book.
Right. And then there'd be the people who couldn't get the book out. They'd have to go to the doctor. The doctor would be surgeons. All right, let's get that book out. If we don't get that book out, he'll die. I got to get this book out of me. And I can't write it. Okay, we'll operate. And they get the book out.
Okay. Yeah, labor extraction.
You guys are getting carried away here. No, this is great. This is fun. This is exactly what we're doing. We're gonna have to do that without. We might have to start. Why don't you talk about what you're gonna do with this? And I'll go check and see if they're around or if they're smoking in the boys' room or something.
I'm sorry, sir. We tried to do it a labor extraction, but we don't
know. He's working on it. Hey, wait a second. How about this? They're trying to get the book out of the guy, right? And one surgeon says to the other, he says, I'm going to cut it this way. And he goes, wow, what a novel approach.
Oh, my God. It's like, I can't handle it.
And then I said, and then someone else says, this is bound to be successful.
Be careful of the spine.
Are you good at this? Well, you can't judge a surgeon by his cover. I don't know. They start to sound like, you just have to start. They start to be like Tonto jokes. You have to contrive.
He sure left his mark on him.
Mark?
Bookmark.
Oh. Yeah, I know. I guess we got through the good ones. Oh, yeah.
went downhill.
This is a poor chapter. This is a poor chapter in your life, pal. We're taking the book out of you. Poor. Let's move forward and do this.
This has gotten way out of hand.
I know. Why don't you explain why you put this stuff together before you do it, and then we'll start it. I'll go check. This is the Cthulhu Chronicles, and you guys just do this here for a second, and then I'll be right back.
I'll tell Tom.
With that. Tom, you talk about
it.
And then.
So, Tom,
hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Tom. How have you been since
good.
The last
so, time? So, is like the audience missing?
Well, the audience ran to...
They're
back. They ran to the supermarket to apparently pick up a pack of cigarettes, and we didn't know if they were back or not.
Okay.
But it sounds like they're back, which is good, because it would have been, you know, it's nice to have even a small audience to test these jokes out on.
Yes. When are you doing this? In a few minutes?
I'll be doing it here shortly. These are jokes. Now, I obviously, as you know, Tom, I'm a stand-up comic. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing comedy for a while. I did, you know, different clubs in this area and things like that. But I haven't written any new material in a number of years. I've been doing the same jokes that I've had for ever since I started, I think. So okay. I figured, and then I had taken a break. That's why I hadn't written anything new. Because I was working on the Frank documentary and some other scripts and things like that. So there was other stuff going on, plus, you know, just school. I was in college.
Just life.
Life and other things. So I had taken a break, and now that I'm trying to get back into it this fall.
Were you worried about me?
So I figured if I'm going to get back into it, I got to come up with some new stuff. I can't do all the old stuff. So I spent like the last couple of weeks writing.
Swiss, I got Swiss iced tea here.
They got you iced tea.
I got you a tea too.
Tea for two.
Can we switch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
Thank you. I want this one.
You want the Snapple? We're going to be Jeremy's audience here. Tom, you are too, I guess.
Thank you.
And
you're having Snapples and
Tom's jealous of our Snapples.
Everyone drives Jeremy's car, right?
I think he's jealous that we're here.
He is jealous.
Okay, here's what's going to happen.
One of these
My
days.
Friends here at here at Cthulhu Chronicles, this is where we are located, and we're doing this book thing. And, you know, we could always do another show on books, too. We don't have to get through the whole thing. You want to wear this?
They so missed that the
you
know best jokes.
Why don't you wear... They did?
Yeah, the
books
book are, in them.
It's okay. Believe me, they're going to laugh at anything right now. They're going to laugh at anything right now. I'm going to give you the headphones, okay? And we're going to be all going to sit back and be part of the audience. And Jeremy Long is going to give us... And here's what I want you to do. Anybody, if you like a joke or don't like a joke, you write Frank Cthulhu at fcatolo@yahoo.com. Or you could tweet right now to @JeremyLongMD, Dr. Funny Guy, whatever. He'll tell you what to do.
Just @JeremyLongMD.
And here, I'm going to give you the headphones here, too.
Yeah, please do that, any listeners, yours. Because that'll be helpful. These are
now
being tested out for the first time ever.
Now we're going to listen.
Yeah, now you can judge him.
Judge. This is weird.
You're good, Jeremy.
I don't like this. Tom, you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Long.
Yeah,
hey guys, how's it going? I'm going to start off by telling you a little bit about myself.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
We'll also teach you how to handle hecklers, too. You know, it could be...
Oh, I handle hecklers, fine. Okay. First of all, let's see, a little bit about myself. I'm not a big fan of books, really. I know this whole show is about books, but I don't really like them. I did just finish one this morning, though, and I was pretty proud of myself. It was 127 pages, and that's a lot of coloring when you think about it. My hands started to cramp up.
I went
through like a whole box of crayons. What else about me? I like to tell you guys a little bit about me and make the show more intimate. My very first relationship was when I was 8 years old, and it was with my mother's best friend. Yep, I get that response a lot. A lot of people find it weird when I tell them I was in a relationship with my mother's best friend. I think the weirdest part about that story is that my mom had an 8-year-old best friend. Okay. But I am in a relationship right now, for real, and things are a little rocky. Like, for instance, just the other night I came home and she said to me, "Jeremy, I feel like sometimes you treat our relationship like it's a game." And, of course, that comment made me so upset that I made her skip her turn and lose 5 points.
Tom! Don't be afraid to laugh right into that mic, Tom!
No, but we're doing okay. We live in California, obviously, so the drought is happening there, so rain's a big deal. For us. So the last time we did have a bit of a rainstorm, she said to me, "Wow, we finally got some rain." And I said, "Yeah, I was watching the weather this morning, and you can expect another 2 to 3 inches tonight." She said, "That's great and all, but I was talking about the rain."
Oh,
Oh, geez. But I digress. In all honesty, my girlfriend and I are doing absolutely wonderful. Everything between us is perfect because she's imaginary. What else? I don't really like emails, you guys. I'm not a big fan of emails. I don't like sending them. I don't like receiving them. I keep receiving this one email over and over again with the subject line, contains tinned pork, and I'm not opening it because it's spam.
That's a great one.
Yeah, what else about me? I refuse to sign up for my 401k at work. I told him, there is no way I am running that far. Okay. Yesterday I heard a song by Curtis Jackson for the very first time in my life, or as most people know him as in the world, 50 Cent, except for Zimbabwe, where he's known as $400 million. Basically, gang, there's really only one thing you gotta know about me, and that's that I'm the kind of guy who asks the tough questions in life. Questions like, so other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the play? And other questions like, is it still a Happy Meal if you're crying?
Sure.
No.
That was funny.
Well, I think I gotta make notes now to talk to you about this.
Yeah. We'll talk after the show. So I read an article recently that said that Coca-Cola originally came up with the idea of Diet Coke because of their concern with restarting this joke.
You missed the setup. I don't want to miss the setup. Go ahead.
I read in an article recently that Coca-Cola originally came up with the idea of Diet Coke because of their concern with the obesity problem. And I think if Coca-Cola was really concerned with the obesity problem, they would put the cocaine back in it.
Yeah, they should, was one of the comments from here. Take that one seriously, alright?
Okay.
Yeah, they should.
So, those Taken movies are getting pretty out of hand, right?
I love these.
There's already two out? The first one was okay, but then after a while, the concept gets overused. They already released the plot for the third one that they're finishing up with, and apparently he's searching for his daughter again, and he goes overseas and contracts a deadly virus. It's called Taken Ill. And then the fourth one, they're already working on the fourth one already, and he's so busy looking for his daughter, he doesn't have time to make dinner. It's called Taken Out. And now the fifth one, they don't know what they're doing anymore, and I think they just ran out of ideas. It's called Taken Too Far. Well, gang, I want to thank you so much for being such a great audience and, laughing at all my stuff, and I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you being a good audience, because just a couple weeks ago, I had such a terrible crowd. They really just did not get my humor, and I got booed off stage, and it was just a big dilemma. And afterwards, all I could think about was, man, that is the last time I do a eulogy. Thank you, and good night.
Senior Jeremy Long. Do we have
Jeremy Long?
Now, why is this? I never hold this. Oh, here's this. Now we had a couple of real big guffaws there, huh? We had some big guffaws, and we had a couple of ones that were not totally understood. I can't bring this all the way over there. Otherwise, we could just yell it out. Oh, you want to? Huh? I want to. Don't they have a? We have another place that. Yeah, there's a chair right there. One chair, two chairs, change chairs, play musical chair.
Generally, really good, Jeremy.
Thank you, Tom.
Overall, it's very good.
This was all for you.
Well, Tom and I, of course, having professional experience, but I want to get some
unprofessional.
Well, I didn't want to say unprofessional. I wanted to get some general feeling. General. Well, there's a couple of big laughs there, okay?
Okay, so, I don't find anything funny.
Did you found anything? What is that?
No.
Don't say that. That means he could have said anything. It didn't matter what jokes you told. You could have said anything.
I agree.
Let me do my 10 minutes. I just flew in from L.A. Boy, are my arms tired. See, she's right.
It takes a lot for me to laugh. So you actually had some really good ones out there.
It takes a lot to laugh. It takes a train to cry. Remember that? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. What did you find? Oh, thank you. What did you find? Which one do you remember? Let's do that first. Give me the one you remember the most.
Oh, shit.
That he told. You don't remember any of them?
I remember the one I didn't understand. The sexual joke.
I remember the one I didn't understand.
The
I like
sexual
that
joke one.
Was the one about...
2 to 3 inches.
Yeah, the 2 to 3 inches
one. Yeah, that's a pretty great one.
I don't get it, though, so explain it to me.
Get it.
The setup was... What was the setup
again?
The
setup was the rain. Oh, we got an email.
What, do you think it's for you? No, you're right. No, you're not. It's not for you. It's from...
The setup was that it rained.
What was the joke? Tell the joke again now.
Okay. Yeah. We live in California, so there's a drought, so rain's a big deal. And the last time we got our rain, our big rainstorm, my girlfriend said... wow, I can't believe that it finally rained. And I was watching, I said, yeah, I watched the weather earlier this morning, and you can expect 2 to 3 inches tonight. And she said, that's great and all, but I was talking about the rain.
But I don't get
that. Well, she's saying that his, what he's going to use to passionately explore
inches.
His.
Oh my God!
Yes, yeah.
That's a small.
So that's the joke.
It's a small situation, understand it.
I like the way you put that. It's a small situation. I'm going to remember that one. I'm going to remember that one. If I call the Cialis people, right?
Can I just tell you that you're like epic?
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I want to introduce myself to the guy that we're speaking to. Hi, Tom. My name's Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Tom, were you ever here when my ex bodyguard was on the show?
Raul.
Raul? Were you ever here? My him on? No, you weren't. Okay.
I think he was.
Raul, of course. Jessica is Raul's sister.
Yes.
Jessica is Raul's sister. Mm-hmm. So.
Irrelevant, though. That's very irrelevant. I'm also my own person. So.
Oh, come on. You don't think I'm...
How dare you?
I did not mean that. I was trying to identify with people who knew of a person. So,
people have listened to the show before.
Yeah.
Raul.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you wanted to come on the show before him, it would have been fine. And if you'd like to take his place as my bodyguard, I have no problem with that either. So there. So that's... Okay.
Okay. All right. Cool.
And you might as well you have to introduce yourself, did you?
Oh. I'm Julia.
Hi, Julia.
Hi.
Half of what she says is meaningless. Well, nobody got that, isn't that something?
I didn't hear you.
Took it right from her.
I was going for like a Beatles reference.
Yes, you're right. She knew it. She knew it. She said it came right from her. Good going.
You go, girl.
You're a Beatles fan.
You go, girl. Do people still say? Oh, now they're talking with one another, so forget about it. Okay, what are the jokes?
Okay, I'm gonna wheel myself on.
No, tell one of the jokes. What joke? What one joke? What do you remember? Going really laughing about? You laughed at a couple, but
I don't know.
Wait a minute, those girls are on wheels.
Really, I feel like you're like
girls on wheels. That's what you've heard of. Girls gone wild. We've got girls on wheels right here. Yes, the girls are on wheels.
You should be like Seinfeld.
It's what?
Seinfeld. He's like...
No, what is the joke that you remember? What joke do you remember?
I can't think of any.
Okay.
But they were all good. I think they were.
So while they were happening, it's fine that they were fun while they were happening. And now they're going back into this. Can we see your tickets, please? Go back to your seat.
Jeremy, there was actually a lot I like.
Go into the smoking room and...
No,
we can... Right on the porch there. Just watch out for the spiders. They like... The big spider. Oh, you're not going? Oh, God, don't let her go.
Tom's trying to talk.
Tom, go ahead. Tell.
Should I continue? The idea of your mom having an 8-year-old friend.
Yeah.
The joke worked, but that whole concept was even funnier. I like that.
Good.
That was good.
Good. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. There's actually a bunch I like.
Thank you, Tom.
I did, too.
I could come perform at Flappers.
Let me just see.
I think so.
Let me see it. Let me see it, though. The thing, I was surprised that you used the Lincoln joke. That goes back to, like, the day he died. That joke.
Yeah,
so if you're going to use it, I would imagine you'd have... No, nobody went...
Okay, go ahead.
Now, I told...
Well, there's a rule in comedy. If you use a Lincoln joke and it bombs, you could always say right after it.
Too soon? Too soon. Yeah, I was going
to
do that.
Jack came... I told this story once. I'll tell you the story. This is true. Jack came to me and said... he was in high school. And he said something. He said, what did Kennedy say when he got off the plane on November 22nd? Mm-hmm. And then remember, this is kids who were in high school a couple of years ago, so they're really far from, you know, and then Kennedy, the whole Kennedy thing. So what did he say? He said, when he got off the plane, they told him, they said, now we're going to get into a car. We're going to do a motorcade. We're going to go to a motorcade. And Kennedy said, oh, God, I hate motorcades. He said, I need that like I need a hole in the head. Okay? This is what the kids were saying. Okay, that was the joke. So I went, ooh. I didn't laugh, but I just went, ooh. And he said to me, what, too soon?
Jack did?
That's a joke, you know? So, but Lincoln,
Remember what Kennedy said about our documentary?
Yes, that was... Now, that was funny, wasn't it? It's a quote on the back of the box.
We have many quotes from many famous people about how much they enjoyed the documentary.
You got to say this joke correctly, otherwise it doesn't work.
Oh, yeah. Well, on the case, the DVD case of the Frank Cotullo documentary, there's a quote from Kennedy that says...
You say there's a quote, and the quote is...
And the quote is, sorry I died and couldn't see it.
So I think it was, sorry I got shot and couldn't see it. John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
See, I don't have to tell you. You know how to tell jokes.
Yeah.
That's one thing about, I knew from the beginning when I saw him the first time, Tom.
Yeah.
I gave him this gig at this talent show that I was, monitoring. What was I doing?
Hosting.
I was hosting.
Hosting.
And I said, this kid's got it. This kid's got it. Good.
I think that's when we finally bonded.
Yes.
We connected that night.
That's right. We went and saw Casino Royale.
Yeah.
We bonded. No, that's see, that's bad. See, and see how people laugh at, you know, audiences are really easier than you think. Now, I'll tell you what, I loved a couple of these I had heard. I heard the one about the kid, the mommy, 8-year-old mommy is good. But that was, you said that a long time ago.
Yeah, there's like one or two that are older ones, but the majority of it is brand new stuff.
Jeremy could also tell you and everybody about, I helped him once write a routine for this particular, he was the host, and this was the biggest ball. We had really good material, but it just goes to show you that every audience is going to be different.
Well, you didn't tell him. It was for,
I didn't tell him anything. I just think Jeremy could tell you.
Oh, it was Frank and I went to, it was a show I got booked for by some people. To be an MC for a music festival, I guess you could call it. And I was to go up in between the bands and do 5 or 10 minutes and then introduce the next band in between each group.
Mm-hmm.
So Frank and I, we were coming up with stuff on the spot at the event, like stuff that the band would do or the names of the band. So we were coming up with like timely stuff. And we had good material, and nobody... There was a small crowd of people to my right of the stage that were having a ball, and the rest of the audience was just silent.
Yeah, and this is really good stuff, Tom. It was really good stuff, but not for this audience, because they... Yeah. This is the kind of audience that would... They were, you know, they were drinking beer, and they were saying things like, man, all of Lynyrd Skynyrd died in that plane crash?
Sweet home Alabama. We even picked people out in the audience to try and get them more involved, and they still didn't like it. Remember that guy?
Yes.
Who's your daddy?
Yeah.
He had a Who's Your Daddy shirt.
Yeah, and we asked him, who is your daddy?
Do you really want to know who my father is? Is that a...
Did you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we would just try. You know, you do anything to get their attention.
Nothing. They were just, no. They were there to see the bands and that.
Sometimes that's fun. I mean, when you get a really dead audience, like when I was doing the talent shows, I mean, you really had to, like, to go to the tables and get things going because people are just dead. There's a lot of zombies. The Walking Dead. Remember that joke I did? Yeah. I saw The Walking Dead today. Not the TV show. We went to the mall.
Yeah. And remember at that show, we were coming up with good material, and I had already, you know, pre-material from other shows, and of course, and jokes that I've written, and Frank says, I don't think it's a good idea to do your fat joke at this particular show.
He had jokes about obese people, and I said, no, look, these they'll hear, but they won't hear it the right way. You know,
all of a sudden, their ears are perk up. Hey, he's talking about me.
Yeah, what a problem. Obesity. That's a whole nother show, huh? Yeah. Okay, oh, I liked, what else about me? A big fan of books. Okay, the coloring book. That's a good one.
Yeah, you like that one?
Oh, yeah. I kind of obvious, but okay. Sure, yeah. I'm in a relationship right now. I feel like sometimes they treat a relationship like a game. That's good. And they upset her, that one.
Yeah.
I made her skip her turn and run. I think you like lose the, 5 points. You like that one, Tom? I like that one.
I did, yeah.
See, there's only 5 jokes in the world. Oh, you just have to put different situations and stuff in them, okay? Live in California. What is that? Oh, that's the inches joke?
Yeah, the drought. That Jessica didn't get.
You didn't do this one because it's dirty? You didn't go on. There's
quite a few that I did not do because, A, I didn't think I had enough time. I told you I was going to do 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's
and, right. B, some of these are a little more blue, so I wasn't sure.
A short Italian man with a creepy I have a van mustache and an annoying voice.
Well, I'm talking about Mario.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk about that later. I need to get your opinion.
But I digress. In all honesty, though, my girlfriend absolutely wanted things to say. Oh, because she's imaginary. That's good.
You like that one? Yeah,
that's good.
Okay.
The 401k. Everyone laughed at the 401k joke, right?
Oh, yes. That was hilarious.
See? Immediately, everybody went
that.
That
was good.
That was really good. And what's really great about it is because it does have that double meaning, but you don't expect it.
Yeah.
And what is half a comedy, right? Surprise?
Yeah.
Is that half or a quarter?
It's half surprise and half timing.
Half timing, right. Very good, Jeremy. I heard a Curtis Jackson song. Oh, yeah. This one had a problem with Jessica. Had a problem.
Jessica
with
had a problem with it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe it was something personal. Jessica, hey, Jessica,
got a problem with what
was the Zimbabwe? Well, why did that knock
that
you?
One
the
wasn't
that
wasn't very funny.
That just hit you the wrong way. Something.
It wasn't funny. Because should I get over there?
Yeah, come on over here. It wasn't funny because...
Excuse me, I'm a little sick right now, so... it wasn't funny to me because it was typical. Like, I think that 50 Cent is someone who's talked about a lot, and, you know...
Okay. No, that's all right. It's not a wrong.
It was a little too common to me. Okay. You know, I didn't think it was that funny. But the 401k and a couple other ones were really funny.
The 50 Cent... Well, I'm going to hear what this joke was exactly anyway.
Here, I'll read it.
She's not sick enough to read, everyone.
I'm not sick enough.
You're not sick enough.
I don't know where it's. Okay.
No, I don't either.
It's I heard a song by Curtis Jackson. Oh, am I not supposed to read it like a story?
Go ahead. Read it.
Let's go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. So I heard a song the other day by Curtis Jackson. For the first time in my life, he is also known by most of the world as 50 Cent. Except for Zimbabwe, he is known as $400 million.
I'm still laughing at
it. Was it funnier?
This is funnier than the first time.
Thank you.
I think so. I think this should be your show.
I can read my jokes.
Right? Yes, my name is Jessica.
Jessica?
Yes.
It was funnier when you did it. So
yeah.
Thank you.
So apparently you can write for other people too. Jeremy?
Yeah. Okay, so I'll become a joke writer.
You can become a joke writer.
Yeah, I'll be the star. I'll be the girl that comes out and tells the
Jessica
joke.
Jessica Jokester. We'll have any Jessica Joke. You could open a
Jessica
we can open
Jokester.
And
Jessica's Jokester.
Hey. Like.
Yeah. We got another place you could play. Jessica's Jokester. How about that?
Jessica's Jokester.
You could all you'd be great.
Jessica's Jokester next week and then going back to the Gaffalls.
Going back to Gaffaws and then
four
shows at Gaffaws and then over to Tickle My Fancy.
That was not one. You just
I just made another one up. Tickle My Fancy.
Yeah, and then Chuckle Hut.
The Chuckle Hut, Tickle My Fancies. And of course, Laugh Till You Cry. Laugh Till You Cry.
LOL Funnies.
LOL Funnies.
And then what about Giggles and Gags?
Tell another one, Jess.
You want me to tell another one?
Yeah, not one of the dirty ones.
She's going to be.
Give her a. Is there clean ones on there?
Oh, goodness, I don't understand.
Where's the start here? Read the. Okay. Read the.
Tell her to read that one.
But
one.
I am in a relationship.
Okay, here.
No, not that one.
No, not that.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Okay. Well, guys, I actually am in a relationship for real right now. It's been going a little rocky. For instance, last night he said to me, Jessica, I feel like sometimes you treat our relationship like it's a game. And I got so upset at him that I made her skip her turn and lose 5 points. Or him. Dang it, I meant him.
Yeah, you're okay. Well, it's a cold reading. I mean, we didn't expect you to do it.
Thank you.
They're very much. Thank you. Let's hear a high five hand for her. That was very good.
How am I going to follow that?
With better jokes, I would think.
I think they're good. Jeremy is good.
No, they were good. How long were you working on these, though, you said?
A few, 2 weeks, maybe a week. Or
okay.
Two, a week
well,
half.
I think Tom, you agree to lose the Lincoln joke? I don't even. What was that connected to?
The Lincoln joke was that joke? I asked the tough questions in life.
I think the small size joke.
Yeah, that could go too.
Well, I think you could get a shorter build up to it.
Oh, the rain one.
Ironically, I mean.
There's actually, Tom.
Too long on the build-up.
There's actually more. There's actually more to that joke.
Not the penis. Well, that's not good.
You know, I love when he makes himself laugh, Tom. That always made me laugh when he makes himself laugh. There's another thing. I want to give you one that you could add and do a double. I don't even know if I have a. I don't even know if there's a phrase for this, but I'll, something with the mother, the one about the mother and the friend.
And I was an 8-year-old friend.
Yeah, I'll give you a one-liner that'll kill right before you get into it so that you can take a beat and then go into that.
Okay.
We'll just talk about your mother.
Okay.
Go ahead. Now I'm not going to do it.
Oh, later. After the show.
Just remind me and I'll do it later. Because okay. There's a number of, and I have any, in these books, I have any number of jokes just hanging around. This one's early. This is early on this one. Okay, my name is Frank Cotolo, man in the, whose name adorns the title of the Cotolo, Savino Long, and the Girls Chronicles here on Y2K Plus 14. What else are we doing? I don't know what we're doing next week, but we still have some time here. We have at least another 10 minutes. You want to do a couple more?
We should.
Want to do a couple more titles?
That's what the whole show is about.
Well, I know, but it was good. We went into jokes, and Tom and I have done shows on jokes, and we've done a number of shows that were jokes in themselves.
You know, there was years ago when I came out here to this undisclosed location in California, I had a job as a customer service representative for a newspaper, and this woman was very angry. She called, she said, Where's my paper? Delivery problem. And I said, I can help you, ma'am. And she said, what's your title? And I could not resist. And I said, Strangers in the Night. And I pissed her off even more.
You know, there are people who don't understand. Well, you got to do, you know, this is the thing about jokes that I found. Even if it sounds like a smart-ass thing, there's certain people like us, I know, you just got to say it, right?
Yeah.
You're right. You just said that. I can't resist it. And there's certain things that people say. Like, I'd go wherever you go and they have your name listed. And they say, what's your name? And I say, my name is Frank Cotolo. She says, can you spell that? And I say, yes, S-M-I-T-H. She says, that's Smith. I said, yes, but it's pronounced Cotolo. and they don't laugh. It's like, they don't laugh. It's like, what? You mean you could write the name? And then it's like, you know, you got to start. I have to do it, right?
I couldn't resist that situation either, Frank. But that's I would have said, you know.
What would you have said?
Well, if she do the setup again. Not the setup. It was actually happening.
Okay, what is your name, please?
Savino.
Can you spell that for me?
THATFOR.
Spell that for me. THE that for me. Yeah, okay. That is another way. That would be a literal interpretation. That would what would that be called?
I would. I don't know. Here, do the setup for me. Do the setup for me.
Okay. Now here's how Jeremy do the joke. What is your name, please?
Long.
Can you spell that for me?
No.
Okay. One more. Right. Spell it yourself, bitch. How about that?
We're working here.
I like. Ay. You know, I want you to know. When I was working at the coffee shop, I know it is. I said, hey, you know how we have sell bagels? I thought this was a great idea. And here's another great idea gone to waste in the last 7 minutes. Really. I said to the people who own the place, I said, listen to this. You know how we have everything bagels, and you know you put stuff on bagels, and you know, people ask for an everything bagel. Uh-huh. Which, of course, now there's another thing.
Very popular.
Here's another thing I love to do. Go to a counter with the things I'm buying at any store. And the lady says to me, well, is that everything? And I said, my golly, no. If I had to buy everything, I would go broke. And it would never even fit here.
You said that in the documentary.
Yeah, and I did that in the documentary. See, I do that over and over again. But I told the people at this place, at this coffee shop, I said, why don't we have this will get attention and you'll sell bagels. How about we call it, and we'll have a sign there, the nothing bagel. It's not free. It's just plain. Well, selling, I mean, people would be saying, oh, here's some slogans. I said, look, it's nothing you ever wanted that tastes better than anything. It's the nothing bagel. It makes everything else, every other bagel look, wait, it makes all of the bagels look like something else. When you can't have it all, have nothing. And then nothing ventured, nothing gained. You know, they just looked at me like, well, that, what do you mean? What do we do?
Yeah.
I mean, this is like this. It's so okay. Where are we? You want some more titles? I'll get some quickly go through titles here. So 10:51.
Yes.
How about this? I like this one. Having fun with Mr. Hand. Oh, I had a joke. Someone laughed. That's a book. That was a book title there.
Having fun with Mr. Hand.
Yeah, that could be any number of things. Could actually be serious.
Yeah.
I know what it makes you think right away, but that's okay.
Ooh,
yeah, that's okay, though, right?
My girlfriend.
Okay. How about, having fun with Mr. Hand.
What about this one?
Well, if I were a dummy, I would be Knucklehead. That's just, that could be, no, you liked that one. Okay. You still with us, Tom?
I'm still
here. Okay.
You didn't like that one.
How about
that's
this?
Something else.
How about
that's
this? What Tom you did. I won't make grouches out of girls. With that. You never lived in a home that didn't have a walnut in it.
You never lived in a home that didn't have a walnut in it.
She gets that.
Does that mean something to you? Would that mean something? That would mean something
to
you?
She gets that.
Okay. How about my shtick?
She gets it?
Yeah, she got it.
She got it.
You see, you can get it for yourself because, you see, that's the point. Someone might get that. It might be a... I bet you never did. I'll bet you never lived in a house that didn't have a walnut in it. I'll bet you didn't. Okay. How about this one here? My shtick is so good, it works on me. By Frank Cotolo. My shtick is so good, it works on me. By Frank Cotolo. How about...
That's about making yourself laugh.
You know what the critics would say about that? It shticks.
Okay. How about this? One of these days, you'll find a six-pack at your doorstep. That sounds like an album, doesn't it? An album title. Or a song. That's another song there, too, right?
Yeah.
One of these days, you'll find a six-pack on your doorstep. That's when you'll get real drunk. One of these days, you'll find a six-pack in... Okay, here's another one.
It could be about, you know, real, real hard abs.
Yeah, that's true. Like a man with a six-pack will show up at your door.
Hal never knew Fermo, and Fermo never knew Hal. Science here? What's going on? 4 minutes left here till 57:57. We hit the theme. Okay, here, I got more here. You ready for this?
Time it now?
Yeah, of course I time it. I used to do that.
Actually. Okay. Yeah.
Do it exactly. How about this one? Do the French have submarines?
Okay.
Right?
Do that?
Okay. No, but they all go down, right? I know. That's not bad. That's just a bad... No, that was just a bad comeback, okay?
No, it wasn't.
Okay, like you that. Like that one? Okay. Here's one I like to call myself every now and then. This might could be my biography. The Human Flesh Machine. By Frank Cazzola.
Look, that's what you are.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. Sin, Degradation, and Depravity in Las Vegas, Vegas, and Reno. Sin, Degradation, and Depravity in Las Vegas and Reno. You like that one?
I like it.
Here's a whole bunch more. Here. A Repulsive Form of Gravity by Frank Cotola.
I was with you when you came up with that.
It's not a solstice. It's an equinox.
Oh,
what? Right?
Now you're catching on here.
We don't have time to talk. This one, the fudge factor.
Yeah.
Okay. A more palpable sense of dread. That's a beautiful. That's a beautiful.
Wait, I was here.
You were here when Dr. Waldo was talking about the whoosh. When You Whoosh Upon a Star would be the name of that book.
It's not a big bang, it's a whoosh.
That's right, it's a whoosh. When you whoosh upon a star, it don't bang you where you are. Glaringly Disgusting by Frank Cotola. Hey, it's out. What? Glaringly Disgusting. How about this? Beer and Money. I like that title. I'm going to use it there so much. A question of blood flow. A question of blood flow could be also. I also have a musical about a guy with erectile dysfunction. A musical about erectile dysfunction.
Okay.
Where he moves. He moves. He just can't. You'll like this one. He has erectile dysfunction, and he has to move to a little town because he got to get away from the city where everything's happening, and of course there's all the sex in the city, everything like that. He moves to a little city, and he has to learn how to love without having sex. It's called See, Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore.
I like that.
You like that?
That's our favorite.
Maybe we should leave with that one as opposed to the last, which of course is called I have never actually seen the donkey. Okay, we're moving on out here now. It's because it's time
it's
going to time. It's time 57. It's almost time to 57 and 57. We're coming up on it, right?
This one's 57.
Yeah, right. 57, okay. 57. You've been listening to, of course. Cotola Chronicles. I've been chronicling. It's not the Chronicles of me. It's the Chronicles. Tom Savino's been with us, and he'll be back again. So I'm going to be talking about his show. Do you have any idea when it's going to start, Tom?
No, I have to get in touch with Phil. Okay. And we'll
summer's over. It's one of the new fall preview shows. Tom,
yeah.
Right? It's a fall preview show.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Jeremy, you'll be here whenever we're here again. I don't know, September, you'll be around.
Next week.
Julia and Jessica hanging out.
J&J
hanging out over there. Thank you. And everyone else listening, we're moving on. Shortly we'll be, what are we doing? I don't know what we're doing next week. Go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Come get me at Cotolo. No, well, that's at yahoo.com. Tom, you're at TJ Savino. You tweet him. Go ahead. Where?
And please.
At TJ Savino. That's it.
TJ Savino, Twitter.
Okay, you're going to be followed. You got more followers tonight here. Jessica and Julia are going to be following you.
Jessica and Julia.
And you all know where Jeremy is. He's at Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Go Winston Simmons and then show up. What is it called, the other thing?
Oh, Scout for Talent?
Scout for Talent. Right?
ScoutForTalent.com.
Something like that.
There you go.
Scout for Talent.
Jeremy Long, at Jeremy Long, MD.
I was 3 seconds off on the hitting that thing.
Yeah, so now it's going to be, it's all ruined.
The point we're trying to make here is not the point we make at all. If you got any titles and you want us to, you want to talk about it, you know, send them in. Write to us, say, go buy my books. Which you won't, but, and we'll be around town.
We say it every time.
Hey, Tom, thanks again.
You're welcome. It was a lot of fun.
Are you staying on for after talk, or are you going to eat?
I have to eat, but I can stay on for
a few seconds with him. Jeremy's sitting here. We'll be talking. We'll see you again, everyone, Hopefully, if everything's all right and everybody stays well and there are no catastrophic accidents and life still runs through our veins, we shall be here again.
I'll be on vacation next
in
week,
September.
So I won't be
Jeremy
here.
Won't be here, so we'll have another exciting. Maybe I'll do a solo, you know?
Maybe.
It'll be fun. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be. Anybody wants to know what that's all about, just go buy License to Skill. I know it's asking a lot. $2.99. And, you know, another $2.99. Your kid's not going to college, I guess, if you throw it out, right? What else is good? What else is that $2.99 did you just blow that on? Okay? So that's the point. I have an awful lot more to talk about, but right now we're going to leave because we have nothing more to say.